We're being joined by Josh Jackson. He's a member of the Decatur Fire Department, Decatur, Illinois, and he also serves as chaplain there. So welcome, Josh. I appreciate your time. How long you've been on the he's due to technical difficulties, he's having to join us by phone. I think our audio will be good enough that you'll be able to get what he's saying. So with that being said, Josh, give us a little bit of your background, if you would.
Well, hello everyone, and thanks to Ralph for having me on. Now my background is that I started out as a volunteer fireman back in my late 20s, and with the goal in mind of becoming a career fireman. And I took tests anywhere within 100 miles for several years of Decatur, and just wanted to try to get a good job that would provide well for my family. And so I started in Decatur in 2008 as at the rank of firefighter. And about 2015, one of my coworkers who was serving as a chaplain at the time asked if I would be interested in running to be the position of chaplain in our department. It's kind of unique. He asked me if I would be willing to run in an election to be elected as the chaplain. So there were four other guys that ran with me, and I ended up with the most votes, and I've been serving as chaplain since 2015. So it's a position that's every 2 years someone could come up and run against me, but that hasn't happened as of yet. And as you can imagine, in the fire service, it's a little bit like the military, and where there are some hard, crusty old guys. So there's not an abundance of Christian qualified or even willing people to take on the role of the chaplain. So,
right.
There, you know, out of 100 guys, there was only four guys that were willing to even run. So, or that were in the guy's mind, in the other guy's minds, were qualified to run. So that's kind of where I'm at. I've been the chaplain since for 5 years.
Okay. A little bit different. So basically, fire chaplain's like a collateral duty because you're a lieutenant, right?
Yeah, I was promoted in 2017, and so my duties as chaplain didn't change. This is just an additional responsibility that I've taken on to try to. I really don't look at it as anything different than I would do as a Christian, as something I would try to reach out and help my other brothers, but I have a title with me now. And so it's really a ministry of availability, and there are so many opportunities that could be a lot of rocks that I could turn that just with time and working, being a full-time job that I don't have time for. So, I respond to fire. I do everything that we do on any other member of the department does. So I respond to all the alarms, and I'm just have additional responsibilities as an elected chaplain.
Okay. I'll give you my background. I came on to the department as a chaplain. I'm a pastor here in town, and one of my members was on our volunteer fire department. He asked me to join as chaplain, and I did. And since then, we had a line of duty death about 5-6 years ago. And after that, I was really heavily involved in that, with the funeral and everything. And after that, counseling with some of the firefighters, I just went ahead and joined the department, and it really changed, because once you start eating smoke with guys, they'll open up to you then. You got to have that relationship with them. And I don't know, I think the fire department is a little bit different than police department. Next week, we're going to have some police chaplains with us. I think they're paid, you know, part of the staff outside of some of the bigger cities. I don't know of any departments that actually have that paid staff position, do you?
As a chaplain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I can tell you what they do in Decatur as far as the police department. They have seven chaplains that are volunteer that are local pastors. And okay. So they take a rotation. They take a rotation a week at a time, and any chaplain related activities that they would need to call the chaplain for, as far as to minister to one of the members of the department or a minister to maybe a citizen in Decatur, then that chaplain is called for that week. Okay. So some of them were really active. We had some chaplains in the police department, local pastors that were really active, and they would actually go out and ride on the weekends with the members. So like you're talking about the relationships, it's the same thing in the fire service and in the police service and in the Christian community. If you have so many more inroads if you have a relationship with someone.
Exactly. So give us a little bit of your faith background, if you will.
Okay. So going way back, my grandfather was the first person to ever get saved in his family. And he grew up in a drunk with his a drunken home, and his father was never around. And he said he was never going to live his life well that way. And he started the journey of faith for me way long ago, because he passed that faith in Jesus Christ to my dad, who passed it to me when I was about 5 years old. There was a gospel tract was sitting on my dad's desk at home, and I asked him about it. We had been going to church, and so at that time I asked Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and to take me to heaven when I die. And that was kind of my first encounter with faith. Was I became older and grown as a teenager, I started to doubt a lot of those things and thought it was just too simple. It was too easy to believe in something like that, and that I needed to do something to more than just, it was just too much, too easy for too childlike faith to, it's too simple. And there needed to be something done on my part. And so, I was studying at church at 19 years old, and we had a candidate come and be for a youth pastor at my church. And he preached a message on hell. And I had been struggling my whole teen years, keeping awake at night and just really unsettled about my salvation. And so when I was 19 years old, on June 22nd of 1997, I made that profession and solidified that in my mind. And I just have to continually remember Romans 10:13, that where it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right. And since that time, you know, I've tried to walk with the Lord, and I spent some time. I went to a Christian college in Pensacola, Florida, and had kind of a rebellious spirit when I went there. But you know, I came away from there with a lot of great. God changed my heart at that critical age, 18, 19, 20 years old. And I realized that I didn't want to live my life like the world, and I wanted to follow the Lord. And I started to get more serious about my faith and to seek out and reading my Bible and praying and being active involved in church. So that's kind of how I got started. And then that kind of just led into my fire service career. As far as just keeping a good testimony, I didn't seek out to be the chaplain. Someone asked me about it. It wasn't something that I even ever asked to be. And when I got that phone call to ask if I would run to be willing to be on the ballot, I was like, well, this is almost like a Moses moment. Like, God, you want me to do this? I'm not qualified for this position. So, but as it turns out, that God gives you the some of the experiences, and there's a lot of things that I'm not qualified for, but he puts me in positions to minister and to serve, and I'm willing to help. And you know, there's been some good opportunities that have come along the way to minister. And I've had a retiree trust Christ a few years ago, and before he passed away, and had another member of the fire department one month that you're talking about that had that you have to have relationships with. And I had a good relationship with him, and he was about as far from the Lord as you can possibly be. And he had something traumatic happen in his life, and he just reached out to me Now, whether he and we sat in his kitchen about 4 years ago, and he got down on his knees and he asked Christ to come into his heart and to save him. And so, you know, if Ed had that relationship with him, I don't know that that would have happened. But
right, exactly.
That's kind of the 2 minute version from my grandpa to leading someone else to the Lord as the chaplain.
Okay. Have you had any formal chaplain-like training? Are you a member of the Federation of Fire Chaplains or anything?
I'm not a member, but I know they do have so many things to offer. And a lot of times I just, I had that class, the Essentials of Fire Chaplaincy class. Taken that right after I had gotten elected to this position. It was good to get out and to network and become familiar with other people in the area. But that's about the extent. I did take some classes on like listening skills and some real very basic counseling. One of the things that I did early on was realize that you know, I'm not the be-all, end-all answer. You know, Christ is the answer to that, but there's a lot of problems in this world that I don't have the training or the resources for. So I started reaching out to local pastors that I trusted, people that I knew had counseling experience and that could relate to people that were in public service.
Right.
And so I compiled a list of those. Then I continually update that and keep that fresh so that, you know, if someone comes to me with something that I don't feel qualified for, or maybe that I realize that I maybe should take some more classes for, that's, you know, it's a place where I can recommend them to and give them a place to go. I try to, when I try to do any kind of recommendations, I try to make sure it's there's so much in the fire service world, and maybe you've noticed this too, and it's in our, it's not just the fire world, but fire service world, but it's in the world in general, is the initiative of mental health and behavioral health.
Yeah.
And there is a concerted effort to make that a priority in the fire department. And some of it's good, but some of it is very godless. And so I have to be very careful about how I handle those types of issues.
Sure.
And where I recommend people. So.
Sure. And yeah, because that's a big thing. I think we've become more wrecked with PTSD kinds of issues.
Yeah.
I mean, firemen suffer from that as well as any soldier does.
Right.
So, yeah, they offer some good class. I think one of the best classes I took with was on children and trauma, and you know, mostly how, you know, automobile wrecks and that kind of thing, and just how to deal with kids and kind of short circuit some of those things so they don't get PTSD. It was really good. In fact, I was able to bring that class back to my department, and I taught it to a couple other departments in our area. It's just good. It's just a lot of it's just common sense kind of stuff. I highly encourage those classes if you can, if they're available in the area. Let me ask you this, Josh. What are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced as in the chaplaincy role there?
Well, kind of what I've alluded to a little earlier, I've kind of bounced around a little bit, but there are so many opportunities and ministry opportunities that I'm sure, you know, as being a pastor, there's only so many hours in the day.
Right.
And there's only so many things that you can do. And it's just struggling with knowing, having a focus and trying not to be all things to all people. I could have a ministry to the retirees from our fire department, but there's nothing being done there. There are ministries, to guys on their days off of helping them with, you know, things around their home. Firemen are not immune to cancer or illness, and there's family members that have needs that could be taken care of by chaplains and other people. So the opportunities are endless, and it's difficult to sometimes know what is best. But what I think is probably the biggest challenge is just making relationships with new members. The more time I get on the fire department, you know, we have 7 firehouses, and so we have roughly 30 to 35 guys on a shift per day. And as I get older and guys retire, I've started to become a little more senior, and some of the new guys that have come on, probably the last 20 guys on the fire department, I don't know them very well. Especially in the last 4 or 5 months, because of we have been forced to not interact with each other.
Right.
So, you know, there's guys on the fire department that I've maybe only seen a few times. And so trying to minister and build relationships with people that you don't see very often is difficult.
Yeah.
Now, some of the older guys that I've been, you know, I have relationships with, I feel like that I could talk with them or be more open with them or challenge them with a good question. But like we're talking there's no substitute for, you know, the time it takes to build a relationship with someone and earn their trust, and with the ultimate goal of, you know, trying to win them forward.
Right.
So, and just using those opportunities that may be presented because you have that relationship with that other person.
Okay. You mentioned a good experience. You talked about leading the retired guy to the Lord. What other good experiences have you had as a fire chaplain?
Good experience is, there was another guy that I got that I was, been two guys that have made professions of faith. There's been some good experiences. Just because it challenges me, because I this badge of being the chaplain is in front of my name now, and guys tease me about it and joke with me about it, but that has challenged me. Hey, I've got to keep myself. I can't slack in my Bible reading. I can't slack in my prayer. So that has been good, because that's a good experience. It keeps me motivated to continue to walk with the Lord and to continue to try to be, you know, I've tried to be a good Christian example before, but now even more, they look to you as the chaplain, and, you know, as much like they would anyone, a pastor or a youth minister, you're supposed to set the example. So,
right.
It's been good for me in that way, to make sure that I'm doing what I should be doing, and so that's been good. But one other example that I can give you in that way is I've tried to tie our job into use it as an avenue to spread the gospel. And what I mean by that is what opportunity that I've taken with that is I send out a newsletter. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 times a year. Sometimes it's just 2 or 3. But the newsletter always starts out with something that may be going on in the world with the fire service, or something that's going on in Decatur with the fire service. And then by the end of the article, I somehow make it's almost like an object lesson or and something that grabbed their attention about our line of work, and then give some kind of spiritual truth to it at the end. And so that's been good, because I've had some guys make that I would not have thought would have made comments about things have made comments. So, and that's something that goes out to all members of the fire department. And sometimes you don't get a lot of feedback. Sometimes you do. And just pray that those seeds will be positive. So that that has been a good experience, and has helped me kind of spread my faith a little bit.
Okay.
In that way.
What kind of support do you get from the upper echelons, from the chief, the battalion chiefs, that kind of thing? Have you ever gotten that call that we need you on, like on a day off, or they pulled you from your house to another one because of?
Yeah, I've had that happen a few times. We've had, you know, there's personnel issues that have taken place, and that they thought that someone that I could maybe intervene. We've had two members, one of the most significant things, there were two members, active members, who died, not in the line of duty, but died off the job. Mm-hmm. And one of them was particularly young, and had four kids and a family. And so, yeah, I was heavily involved in his funeral, because the family elected to have the fire department involved in that. So, yeah, there's always that possibility that my phone will ring and they'll ask me to do something to help out in some way. And so
the chief does see you as a resource, and he uses you as a resource, and that's good.
He does. I think there's a lot of, early on I do have the support of them, but, you know, like any other, you know, they have to run the fire department as a business. And so, as far as education and things for me and things like that, it's more difficult to try to get maybe a little bit of funding for those types of things. But as far as moral support, I mean, they have not, that email system that I send out, that's from the city email system, that newsletter that I sent out. I have never gotten anything from them that says, we don't want you to do this. We don't support this. I passed out 100 Gideon New Testaments here within the last few years. No one ever, I didn't get any flack about that. So they are, actually one of our deputy chiefs is a born again Christian. So, he's sympathetic towards the cause of Christ. So that helps in a great deal. But, I think that they respect me, but sometimes a fireman in general, not just the fire chief, they don't always see the need to seek help.
Right.
And men in general, we tend to internalize things and not talk about things. So I do reach out, and the chiefs will occasionally, they'll send me say, hey, these guys were on this accident with these kids, or there was a person in the lake. Maybe these are the guys that were on this call.
Right.
Maybe you want to reach out to them. So I've done some of that. So yeah, they do use me, but probably not as much as they can or could. And, you know, with just me, I typically just know most of the things, unless it's something really significant. You know, I work a 24-hour shift, for the 48 hours that I'm not there, I don't always know what goes on.
Right.
And so, you know, I can only be aware, just like members of your congregation, you're only aware of if you're made aware.
Right, right. Well, speaking of local congregations, what kind of local church support does the fire department and you get from your community? Or what do you think you could use? What kind of support could you use from a congregation in the community?
I'd say as the fire department or to the chaplain specifically, it's just a ministry of prayer to recognize and take the opportunities that God puts in front of you. So to pray specifically for that, I would say a ministry of prayer would be a way that people of a local congregation could pray, and if they knew specific things that maybe down in Medora or Indicator that they could pray specifically for. But the prayer would be the biggest thing. It always is.
Yeah.
But secondary to that would be to, when there is some kind of event, and it's maybe a little more recognizable when you're in a small community, because everyone is aware of things that go on more so than in a larger city, would be to, when there is some kind of an event that impacts people in the area, that the people of the congregation could reach out through the chaplain or to the chaplain to just find ways that they could minister to the basic, you know, daily needs of that person that was impacted by that.
Okay.
Maybe somebody, go ahead.
You made me think of a question there. We've talked about how you minister to firemen. Have you gotten many opportunities to minister to victims? I know we had it was early June, we had a fire in another town. We have about three towns in our district and 100 square miles we cover. And a house fire, and it was right just down from the local Baptist church there, and they had part of their congregation was right there, and they got clothes and stuff for the family that had just lost everything. It made a big difference. I mean, have you had any of those kinds of opportunities where the victims fire or accident look to you for some kind of resources or anything?
No, and that's not something that we would be opposed to, but just had the opportunities haven't presented themselves as a department. We have done that, but there's been a few instances where I prayed with people on the side of the road, or mm-hmm. prayed with somebody that was on a medical call. But it's just a little bit different. My position, I guess, is more so geared towards taking care of the needs of the members of our department. It's not something that that really we have explored or reached out to. But there's certainly a vast need for those types of things within the city of Decatur.
Yeah. But, you know, you said your department has 100 members. That's a pretty good size. We were talking earlier before we went live on how many calls. Why don't you tell us that number? How many calls the Decatur Fire Department handles in a year's time?
Last year we ran about 11,700 calls, and 60% of those, or 60 to 70% of those, are medical calls. We usually have several hundred structure fires per year. Right now, in the middle of July, we've run about 6,000 calls for the year.
Wow.
And that's about a typical day for us. We have 7 fire stations with 100 members, and there's about 30 to 35 members on per day. We have 8 apparatus that we staff with a minimum of 3 guys. Battalion chiefs, and then the administration. So Decatur is a good fire department to be on if you want to be busy and you want to fight fire.
Okay.
The demographic of Decatur, the age of Decatur, the socioeconomic status of Decatur, lends to a lot of activity in the fire world for us. We are well respected by many other members, or many other firemen in the state, because if you mention the name Decatur, people say, "Oh, you guys fight fire." Mm-hmm. So you go to some out of our neighboring communities, and they don't fight maybe as much fire as we do.
Yep.
So
Do you do any kind of mutual aid outside of city limits, or are you primarily just city of Decatur?
You know, we have some neighboring volunteer agencies that whoever is, you know, close to the outside of town, they'll call in first. We do go to some outlying agencies. We're part of Mavis 46.
Okay.
And we're kind of the central location there for that. That's rare for us to go outside of the city, but it does happen. And typically we just send one company, but it depends on what they're calling for. We've had fires that we've driven an hour away for to provide a support role for. So, but we do a lot of things when they're and technical rescue,
right,
when there are things that are outside of the city. That's probably more what we would get called for rather than so much fires.
Okay.
And we'll have the county agencies, the volunteer agencies will have to come in and man staff apparatus in the city. We had when about a month ago, when things were happening in Minnesota, we had 11 structure fires in the 36-hour period.
Wow.
So we just did not have enough people or machines to keep on the street. So we had, in times like that, we have plans in place that the county agencies will come in and they will staff our stations in that time.
That's the challenge of not only the pandemic right now, but like with the protest and things like that. Have you had to deal with any stresses? I mean, have you had to speak into those to your firemen as far as, you know, have they come to you asking, I mean, I can't handle the stress, or the stress is getting to me, any of that kind of stuff, more than usual?
I don't think so, more than usual, but the job is fairly stressful. But it's not unusually so. It's just, you know, early on, I think with the coronavirus, everything was changing almost by the minute. You know, this is how you're supposed to conduct your business. And we had, guidelines that were changing almost by the, you know, multiple times a day. This is how we're going to operate, and this is how we're going to try to protect ourselves from this situation. So, but, you know, it's kind of like change that comes in anybody's life and any line of work. It might be stressful. Change is always stressful, and new things are always different, and, you know, we didn't do it that way before, or why are we doing it this way, how can we do it this, how can we do it better? Those things are happening in everybody's line of work. They happen in churches, so but I don't think it's really been any stressful. I think as over time you just get accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the life is. And maybe you don't even really realize it. So, but yeah, there are, you know, another thing that if someone was listening and they wanted something to pray for, is that the area of suicide, and you talked mentioned a little bit about PTSD, and you're talking about stress right now, if it's more stressful than normal. I don't see that it's not any more stressful than it usually is. It's just a different thing that came down the road. But there are a lot of firemen that are taking their own lives, and there's a concerted effort to change that, but it's a humanistic effort, and it's not really an area that's being addressed by, it's a godless solution. And so in the end, it's kind of a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And so just pray that there would be a, that people, when they do have those types of thoughts, and I've dealt with on a couple occasions with members that have considered harming themselves. So just pray that they would seek God. Firemen will seek God out of this, and when they are stressed, that they would realize that the Holy Spirit would speak to them, and that, and they would open their heart to what He has to say, and they won't turn to these humanistic ideas that are so prevalent and are being taken over in the fire service world and in our world in general.
Right. Well, with that being said, Josh, I appreciate we've been on quite a bit and covered a lot of topics, and I do appreciate your time and your ministry. So as we wrap up here, I just want to lift you and your department up in prayer, if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate that.
Okay, let's go, Lord. Our most holy Heavenly Father, we pause before your throne of grace this evening, and we just thank you for, first of all, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be an atonement for our sinful selves, and that you did this out of love to reconcile us back into relationship with you, Heavenly Father. We are eternally grateful for that. I thank you for Josh and his chaplaincy with the Decatur Fire Department, Heavenly Father. And we lift up him and his ministry to you, Heavenly Father. We ask you to protect him and guide him and lead him through these a little bit more stressful times with the protest and the pandemic, Heavenly Father. And we pray for the men and women of his department that you would send your Spirit of comfort out to them, and that you would just wrap them on and open their eyes and hearts to the message of the gospel, Heavenly Father. And we just ask that the local churches there in Decatur will reach out and support their first responders. And a very busy department, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for the dedication of those public servants who do risk their lives daily for us. We are grateful that we still have folks willing to do that. And we lift all these things up and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.